Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and dias featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hey, everybody. It's Devin.
Also, this guy.
Catherine.
Yep, that's me.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
It's a hot one. Oh.
I love our song.
Actually, me too.
It is a hot one. And Kate and I were just saying we can't wait for snuggle season. We're just ready to be cozy.
Yeah.
It is almost time for the burr months.
It is also almost time for some exciting new developments.
Big news!
Big news!
Not as big as TS12. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's true. Also.
This is like, this is our own big news.
It is.
Now, well, we're going to about episode 100. So yes. In case you didn't know, this episode you are listening to right now is episode 98. So Kate and I came up with a plan for episode 100. And now's your time if you want to get in on it and have your say to become a Patreon. So we are going to have a vote of our Patreons to vote for our top 10 best med crimes episodes/stories.
We're going to talk about them.
We're going to do a recap. Top 10 for episode 100.
It is going to be so fun.
We're going to have 4 years of material to talk about.
So legitimately excited for this. It's not even funny. It's going
to
be great.
Kate and I are making plans for like a little, like her and I are going to like have to like re-listen.
Yep.
To get details.
Yep.
And really like we're going to throw you out. Like we're going to give you guys so many options and you're going to choose 10.
Yeah.
The Patreons are going to choose what 10 they want us to briefly. And when I say briefly, like, we're not going to, like, re-bore you.
No.
But we're going to be like, hey.
We're just going to reminisce.
We're going to take 5 minutes apiece.
And bitch be like,
do you remember this asshole?
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Fucking Carl Tanzler?
Yeah. He's on the list. I guarantee he will be voted to the top.
I think he's also the most recurring one that we talk. Like 100%. Bring up.
I actually get the most comments and like messages, I think, like about that episode and about Carl Tanzler himself.
So with that also, we're going to save this second part of the big news for episode 100.
Yes.
We're going to release the second part of big news.
Big news.
In about a month.
Yep.
In about a month.
Yep. Bow. We have Patreons.
It's coming up.
We got some very wonderful.
These very smart people are so thankful for.
It's like their spidey senses were tingling.
They were like, I think something's coming.
There's something's happening in the Med Crimes universe, and I must become a part of it, is what they said.
They are so smart.
I love them. Leah Galvin.
Hey, Leah.
Hey, Leah. We have Ariel Svoboda.
Ariel. Speaking of Ariel, please, do you have feedback on this? For some reason, my son is fixated on me being what did he call it? The bad, funny looking lady from Little Mermaid.
Ursula?
He wants me to be Ursula for Halloween.
Oh, he wants you to be Ursula for Halloween.
He wants me to be Ursula for Halloween.
Okay. The visuals I'm getting are actually iconic, though. Like, do you realize that you would make a fucking awesome Ursula?
Those poor, unfortunate souls.
I love it. Oh my God.
Next.
Finally, we have Jackie Giannios.
Giannios.
I hope I said that right. I'm sorry, Jackie, if I didn't. But we love you all. Oh, that's my incredible. God.
Thank you so much. I still get like so excited, floored, flabbergasted, and just thankful that we are on the last round the corner to the end of season 4.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it's just like, I couldn't be more thankful.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
For 4 years ago, you'd be like, you want to shoot the shit in the basement with me?
And yeah. Say no more. You were like,
say no more.
Say less, bitch. Say I'm less. There. You know what you guys are? You three, Leah, Ariel, and Jackie are Gorgons.
Gorgon.
And a Gorgon is what Medusa is.
Like a Gorgonzola?
So, no, Devin, not like Gorgonzola. But a Gorgon is a mythical creature from Greek mythology that is vicious and beautiful and can kill you and turn you to stone with just a look. So, you three ladies are just going to go out there and you're just going to fuck shit up and walk away. That's what you're going to do. And it is time to get into this very massively requested case that I've had.
Massively?
Oh my God. Well, we have a lot of, I feel like I say that every time because there's so many that we just haven't even covered yet because we only do 2 episodes a month, unfortunately, right now, currently, as things are right now.
Easter egg.
Sorry. What? I'm invoking Taylor Swift over here. I'm Easter egging.
Did anyone else watch that 2-hour long podcast?
Taylor Swift does nothing unless it is an Easter egg that is meticulously planned out.
Numerology.
See? Highly requested
do
case.
Do I know what this is?
Niels Hoegel. You've probably heard the name.
Niels Hoegel.
Yeah. So it's actually not that long ago. This all happened in like the early 2000s and late 90s. So it's a relatively modern case.
Honey, that's almost 30 years ago.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You said not that long ago.
You shut your face right now. It was not that long ago.
You said early 2000s, late 90s.
You shut your face.
It is almost 2026. Okay.
He was arrested 20 years ago. Thank you very much.
All right.
Which was in 2005. But we'll get into that in part 2.
When we met.
This is Niels Hoegel is a German nurse who killed patients that were under his care. And you'll notice that it is sort of very reminiscent to Janine Jones, to Charles Cullen. I don't know of a copycat. I think he just did this because he's actually very disconnected from humanity and there was no other way for him to feel anything, basically.
Love these guys.
These guys are just something else. And actually, the estimates of Hoegel's alleged victims, the count has like increased since his first conviction because there is still like actively investigations that are trying to link him to certain deaths that happened during his time at the bedside. So it's like more and more. And actually, as of 2020, he was believed to have claimed over 300 victims in 5 years.
Wow.
So that would make him the most...
That's a lot.
That would make him the most prolific serial killer in the history of Germany, basically. What peacetime Germany,
I mean,
I
know you're going to get there, but what type of nurse?
I'll get there.
I know.
Yeah.
I spew as I think about things.
I know. So there's going to be like a lot of German words here. I'm trying. I want you all to know that I always try. And I did look things up.
That's all I got.
I know. So Niels, we are going to dive into this really hot, juicy cheeseburger of a show right here. Niels Hogel was born in Wilhelmshaven, Germany, which is a smaller sort of coastal town in West Germany. And he was born in 1976. So his mom worked as a paralegal. His father worked as a nurse. And he had a grandmother that was a nurse. So a lot of nurses in his family. Not a ton is known about his childhood itself. He grew up in like this sort of modest, like working class family in this smaller town. So it really wasn't anything like outstanding. But according to people who knew him growing up, there didn't seem to be like any significant history of abuse or trauma or anything that at least nothing anybody could see from the outside. And that, you know, we see that often when we're looking at like the backgrounds of criminals, but nobody ever really noticed that mm-hmm. with him, I guess. So on the surface, his childhood was relatively ordinary. And if anything, he was like on the sheltered side. Like his parents really like wanted to sort of hide violence from him. They didn't let him watch any crazy movies or, you know, he was kind of, you know, spent more time at home probably than the average kid. But other than that, you know, nothing really abnormal. But as he grew older, there were some like cracks in his personality that started to sort of emerge. And friends and colleagues would later describe him as somebody who craved attention and validation, like very consistently. It seemed like that was like this huge driving force. And as we get
further, I wonder if his parents always gave it to them. And so like he just thought that was normal.
Well, that might be.
Because if he was always secluded at home with a praising mom and dad.
Or
I don't know.
He never received any
straws.
Or he never received any validation and he starved for it. It could be either end of the spectrum or neither of those at all. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say because we weren't there. So it's when we like learn more about his crimes and like how he committed his crimes, we'll be like, oh, that's totally on brand that he like wanted validation and wanted constant like praise and he wanted, you know, just attention pretty much all the time. And as a child, Hogel often found himself sort of like seeking approval from those around him, and his efforts were frequently overshadowed by others. And it seemed like that really bothered him, that he wasn't the best at like everything. Like he was a good student, but he wasn't like the top student. He certainly wasn't like a valedictorian. He was never like the most popular. He played a lot of sports, did a lot of activities, but never was like the all-star at anything. And it seemed like he was always like striving for that, but just never could actually get there. So his decision to pursue a career in nursing as he grew up seemed like it would come like pretty naturally to him because he was intelligent. He was a good student. He applied himself. And it seemed like, you know, that was something that he would really do well in. And having been brought up in this house with a father who worked as a nurse and his grandmother being a nurse, like, that also didn't help that he must have known the industry a little bit or just like, you know, what the lifestyle was like when you're working as a nurse. So psychologists who later worked with Hogel would later go on to say that his motivation for entering the medical field was more complex, though, than just like following in his family's footsteps. It turns out that it really wasn't just about like helping others. It was more about the power that came with the role and like as a nurse, Hogel was not like he wasn't just like taking care of patients and like doing the day to day. He was like, I mean, when you're a nurse, you're an essential part of this patient's survival. Like you literally are holding life and death in your hands with everything, with most things that you do for a patient.
Yeah, we are.
So, you know, to him, that is power. That role is power. That makes me indispensable. And that makes me somebody who could like really get some notoriety and recognition for my efforts.
So he's doing it again for the recognition, not for what the good he could do for other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's sort of like what comes out all of this. And Dr. Petra Klein, who's a clinical psychologist specializing in the study of healthcare serial killers, actually later sat with him and did like a formal examination.
We need that guy on our show.
We really, it's a lady, Dr. Petra Klein.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we need her on our show. Yeah.
She later
Research
explains
on healthcare serial killers.
Yeah, she can.
We
she
need
can
her.
Come here.
Come on,
Petra.
Do we speak Dr. your K? Language? Probably
no,
not.
Probably not. No. She did later meet with him and explained, quote, Niels Hogel wasn't drawn to nursing out of empathy or desire to heal. He was drawn to it because it allowed him to be at the center of life and death decisions. He was someone who, from an early age, craved recognition and control, and nursing gave him both of those. But as time went on, the normal responsibilities of the job were not enough to satisfy him. He needed more. He needed to play God, end quote. So I'm already drawing a lot of parallels. Yep,
especially with the playing God.
Playing God, like with Janine Jones, with Charlie Cullen, mm-hmm. with Elizabeth Wetlaffer, with a lot of these healthcare high volume serial killers that right. just like genuinely enjoy mm-hmm. the heroism that comes with right. saving people, right. basically. So now Dr. Werner Jaeger, another criminal psychologist who testified during Hogel's trial, actually described, quote, it's not uncommon for individuals with narcissistic tendencies to start out with good intentions, only to lose sight of their moral boundaries as their need for validation grows. And in Hogel's case, the line between caregiving and cruelty disappeared entirely. What began as a desire to be seen as a competent nurse became an obsession with controlling life itself. His patients were no longer human beings. They were instruments of his self-aggrandizement. So they were all a means to an end, basically. And I'm telling you all this sort of up front because it gives an idea of like a little bit of what's going on in his head, right? Because we do have some accounts of patient experiences and family experiences, which we'll go over. Oh. We don't have a ton, especially from his early years and the first place of employment. There were a lot of incidents that were eventually tied back to him, but because it had been so many years, we don't have like firsthand accounts about mm-hmm. the experiences and specific examples.
So you have some?
Oh, yeah.
From patients that mm-hmm. obviously lived?
Yep. And family members wow. and accounts oh, from coworkers. Scary. And like, so there's a couple stories that we're going to talk about today. We'll go more in depth on part two as well. And today we're going to get to sort of midway through his employment and like we're getting pretty close to where things are going to sort of bubble over. And his next in 2 weeks, we'll talk about his arrest, the trial and the fallout, which is massive for
oh, shit.
Everything that went down. And also this is I'm going to spoil it just so that nobody is left like really hanging. This is like one of those rare incidents where the people that swept this under the rug and didn't listen to all of the complaints and didn't like raise the red flag, like the hospital higher ups tried mm-hmm. to, you know, hush, hush everything as they always do.
Mm-hmm.
They actually get held accountable for this, which is awesome.
About time.
About
because, yeah, you're
time.
Right. That is so rare.
It is so rare.
You talk
so,
about hospitals getting away and
yes.
using another scapegoat all the time.
Yes, exactly. It is such a trend. I mean, yeah. we've been doing this for 4 years, and I feel like there's so many situations that yep. echo this. So many.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
So, after enrolling in and completing his training in 1997 at the St. Wilhelm Hospital, Hogle became a nurse, and he continued working there for a couple years in a medical surgical role. And then 2 years later in 1999, he moved on to employment at the Oldenburg Clinic. And there he assumed the role of a cardiac surgery intensive care unit nurse. I have a little bit of personal experience in that specific department. So we're going to talk about sort of the types of patients that would end up in his unit under his care. So the cardiac surgery ICU would be a specialized portion of like the medical or surgical ICU, which specifically cares for patients having undergone invasive cardiac surgeries. Now, patients who have, like, this would be patients who have had, you know, your cardiac bypass, an open valve replacement, transplants, things of that nature. So these are massive, like, pretty much the most invasive surgery that you can have. So these patients would have undergone whatever procedure it was that they needed. And then once they leave the OR, they end up going immediately to the cardiac surgery ICU. And these patients are typically kept intubated for a prolonged period of time after surgery. It's usually at the very least 24 hours after the procedure and sedated. And oftentimes they need pressors to maintain like stable hemodynamics. There's tubes and lines everywhere, anywhere from 2 to 4 chest tubes that are constantly being monitored. You know, so it's a team effort really between anesthesia, cardiac surgery, nursing, respiratory therapy, the aides, everybody is participating because this is a very tenuous phase after surgery happens. So these patients are fragile. It's like the we're not out of the woods yet type of, you know, period after a big like, surgery like this.
Like a step down.
Exactly. Exactly. So essentially, these people are incredibly vulnerable and oftentimes unconscious, sedated, and unable to speak or advocate for themselves. So just to know, you know, sort of the level of care that was expected of him. And then it wasn't until after Niels began working there that the patients on the ward would start suffering medical emergencies at a higher rate than their prior average. Wow. So like, yes, these patients on the unit were higher risk in general. This is a high risk field, right? Mm-hmm. So that could initially easily be explained away, but there were others that were more on the stable side and even that were getting ready to like move on to the next step, which would be like downgrading to the floor, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden would suffer like an immediate unexpected collapse that nobody could really like explain away.
Love those.
So, I mean, again, I'm getting huge Cullen vibes.
Yes.
And it was even starting to be like trended and noticed by the higher ups on the unit.
Was it Janine who did the to be the hero?
Mm-hmm.
Like she wanted to be the hero. Like, look at I saved all these people. That
yes.
You,
she was were there very the, right. That yeah. was very much her
was
pathology.
Was he kind of like that with this too? Like
very much so. So, and we'll get into more of the details. But it seemed like these patients would, you know, code like transition into like a lethal arrhythmia or their blood pressure would tank. And he was there and he always had the right things in his pocket. He was always the first one in the room. It mm-hmm. seemed like he fucking knew
right
exactly what was going
You're
on.
The first one in the room because you were the last one in there before
exactly,
the event occurred.
Exactly. So
think about that part.
Very reminiscent of Janine Jones in that way. Okay. And I think the pathology here is like very, very similar. Now, the higher ups are starting to like notice this trend a little bit. Like these incidents are starting to become a little bit more frequent. So everyone is like, okay, what's happening? Like, is there, you know, a practice standard that's not being followed? Mm-hmm. Is there equipment that's malfunctioning? Is this a issue with one particular surgeon who is, you know, having bad outcomes? We need to find the commonality here. Yep. So in August 2001, doctors and all the ancillary staff in the unit all held a big meeting, basically, which Hogle attended. And they all discussed this sort of unusual spike in resuscitations and in deaths and in bad outcomes during the preceding months. And it turned out that 58% of these incidents were found to have occurred while Hogle was on duty. And at this meeting,
58%.
So, I mean, there's a lot of nurses on that unit.
Mm-hmm.
58% is fucking lot.
Yeah, that's high.
So at that moment, you know, After that, he was kind of confronted about it and he kind of like gave some, you know, whatever excuse. But it was apparent to him that the higher ups had sort of noticed at least that trend. They did not, they were not insinuating that he was doing anything on purpose. They were maybe just saying there's a correlation here. We maybe need to look at, some retraining.
That's you get those nurse of death titles.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. So after that meeting, Hogle called in sick for 3 weeks. Three straight weeks. He was deathly ill all of a sudden.
Red flag.
During that 3 weeks that he was out, only two patients in that ward died unexpectedly. And it was like a marked decrease in critical events. So significantly fewer prior to his sick leave. So, and then years after his apprehension, he would admit that he called out at that time because he thought that they were narrowing in on him. He was like, I was scared to go to work because I thought that they were sniffing around a little bit too much.
Wow.
They mentioned me specifically.
Wow.
So that's the thing about him. And we'll talk about that in part two, is that he, once he was apprehended, sang like a canary. He disclosed everything.
Not the Cullen where he was just like, you can't prove anything.
No.
You know, like his arrogance, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this guy was definitely arrogant because he thought he could get away with, and he did get away with it for like a really long time. Not as long as Cullen.
Right.
But he did get away with it for a long time. And I think he was arrogant in that way. But once he was caught, he just kind of threw up his hands and he was like, I better just cooperate.
Complain.
Yeah. So it was pretty clearly a pattern, though, like the unit was noticing, and they noticed the absence of bad outcomes when he was off for 3 weeks. So
red flag.
And then it was always sort of a similar scenario that patients that were seemingly recovering and doing well, getting ready to like step down to the floor, and then boom, a medical emergency would occur. So as he worked there longer and longer, co-workers started to become uneasy about him specifically. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but it is always him. Why is it always him? You know what I mean? Like, he's doing something. Like, nobody really was, you know, thinking at the time that he was doing anything intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But people are wary about working with him. Like, there's fucking something up. I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, I've had some times with, like, in the past, and nothing like harmful for sure. Like, you know, but it's just like you have conversations, just like, you ever notice like this one person is always the one to like give this, you know what I mean? Like, and nobody else does, you know, it's just like, that's how people talk.
But
that's
how many times have we had those conversations?
Of course.
And it's just because that's just the way it fucking is.
Yes.
You know, and it's not really that anyone is up to anything nefarious.
No, sometimes it's, just,
it's just, but people are starting to become sort of uneasy about working with him. But the thing is, when people did have those collapses and when they did code, he was fucking phenomenal. He was so good at what he did. He was the first one there. He seemed to know exactly what to do. Like I said, he had everything in his fucking pocket. He had all
is
the meds.
Is Janine his sister?
Right?
I mean, I'm just
They're
asking.
Literally the fucking same person.
Yeah.
And he always noticed that this person's going to code. I just have a feeling. He was always doing that. So it's like, how could this guy be fucking up something so bad that he's killing people, but also be so good in these situations? Like, everybody just, he got a lot of praise for being the hero in that situation. And he fucking loved it. He loved being the hero. Loved it. So it was hard for them to, because nobody could really identify anything that he was doing wrong when they watched him, you know? Right. So that's where things got tricky.
I want to know what his vice was.
I know.
When do we get to that?
We're going. We're going, baby.
Is it oxygen?
We're going.
Not oxygen. Wow. Hello. Insulin.
It's neither of those.
Neither?
No.
Huh.
No. We're going to talk about it because it is interesting and it's something. One of the meds that he uses, we are going to talk about because he...
Has it been a med that we've talked about before?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Really.
Unique.
I know.
Huh.
So...
I'm stumped.
Again, while some staff members are saying like, wow, you're just really quick and like you're an asset on the unit. All these bad things are happening, but like you're here to fix it. Like, this is great. And then others who have worked with him long enough would notice that there's like this pattern and started to feel like that unease. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Of course he's here.
Of course he's here. Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. This only ever happens when he's here and he somehow knows how to fix it. So there were moments when the truth about Niels would come like really close to being revealed. Like, in fact, several staff members did actually raise concerns about him specifically because it was no secret that all these bad things happened pretty much only when he was there. So they would bring their concerns, like these nurses and other staff members would, and doctors would bring their concerns to like the unit administration, and they were ignored. Their concerns were totally dismissed. So they were ignored. They were silenced, and like the hospital's internal culture, like, was really reflected here. Basically, like, it was one of those sweep it under the rug situations. Yep. And we've seen it so many times.
Of course.
So at Oldenburg Hospital, a colleague of his, a nurse named Karen, was one of the first to voice her concerns. And she noticed that patients who were stable often.
Okay, Karen.
I know. Yeah, she's a good Karen, though.
Sorry. Great Karen.
And she would notice that like patients who were often stable would like deteriorate rapidly while he was on duty. And she shared her observations with a supervisor, but the response was like indifferent. And she had gone on to say, quote, "They told me it was just a coincidence that I was overthinking things," she recalled. Quote, "They didn't want to make waves, especially not over something they couldn't prove." And that becomes the tricky part once again.
Mm-hmm.
And the bulk of the issue, I think, when they did this little investigation here is that they were hoping to find like a correctable issue. Like, yes, it's this one particular nurse who's doing this, this, and this wrong. We can fix that. Or, yes, it was an equipment malfunction. Mm-hmm. We can do this, this, mm-hmm. and this. But the possibility that somebody was doing this on purpose was entirely a different issue, because then the hospital is like ensnared in this huge murder scandal and, you know, they don't fucking want that. And while they had concerns being shared from staff and even like the doctors there about patterns while he was working, they had no concrete proof. Same shit, different hospital, like literally.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? So, and we'll talk about it a little bit more as things unfold. So in early 2001, suspicions are sort of surfing around. He's getting the weird looks thing, like the higher ups are kind of sniffing around a little bit. Enough so that the medical director of the cardiac surgery ICU started becoming suspicious of him in particular.
You don't want that guy
you
to know
really
your name.
You really do not don't want that. That guy That's to the know last person yeah. you want. So that medical director actually started pressuring the unit administration to get him out of the ICU. He's like, get him the fuck out of my unit. I do not want him around my patients. So they transferred him to the anesthesiology unit. They just...
So let's give him more powerful drugs?
Yeah, let's just... We don't,
propofol?
Like, from what I'm gathering, this looked like it was a PACU setting of some kind. And so the hospital says, okay, I'm acknowledging that this guy's a problem, so go to a different unit. You can still work here. You can still handle drugs. You can still take care of patients. Just not here. You can go to the...
Not on my unit.
Other unit over there. So... This never ceases to amaze me. I have such a hard fucking time.
You're not good enough to work on my floor.
No, not that floor. The PACU, totally. Totally.
I will say, remember a time years ago, we're probably talking over 15 years ago, and I had a nurse that was brought up to my floor. I was a unit manager, and he was not doing well on the other floor. He did not succeed well, mm-hmm. like almost to like termination. So in the what are we going to do to help you succeed? Well, yeah. Let's partly change your unit. Mm-hmm. And then it was brought to my floor on the Alzheimer's unit.
Mm.
Let me tell you, that he became my best nurse on that unit.
Wow.
Like
sometimes.
So being the skilled rehab unit versus the long-term care dementia.
Yes.
And his, he had such a calming manner and he was a lot slower.
Aww.
Like, and that's why, like, on a skilled rehab, it didn't work.
Right. But
in- so, I mean, this guy ended up on our med crime show, the one that you're talking about, not
yes.
the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
So clearly, like, so I think benefit of the doubt, I can see that, like, why yes. that works. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes.
Because that guy was almost off all of his IPIPs.
Exactly.
Like, by the
right.
time, like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He did so well with me mm-hmm. that his stuff like went away and like he flourished.
And
not gonna lie, I was pissed when he first came on my end. I'm like, why do
absolutely.
I get him?
Absolutely.
Why do I get the problem child?
Absolutely.
So I get it.
And again.
But so maybe there was a little bit of that thought in
they
there.
They were giving him the benefit of the doubt and like, you know, we're not saying you're doing this intentionally. It turns out he was.
Of course.
But how could they, you know, they, first of all, they really didn't do much of an investigation. This
is that
was very
part of
limited.
Why the hospital ends up being liable?
Yeah. There, okay. there was very little investigation okay. into this. Really, the only thing they did was identify the pattern, sweep concerns under the rug, and eventually when it boiled over and the medical director started whining, transferred him to a different unit.
Okay.
And put him in charge of taking care of other people.
To keep the medical director happy.
Exactly. So he didn't last long there, though, because
people
same
started
shit,
dying.
Same
people
shit
started
kept
dying.
Happening. Soon, the PACU ward's head physician became suspicious of how Hogel was frequently present in emergency situations. And in September of 2002, the Oldenburg Clinic's head physician, so like the CMO of the entire hospital, confronted Hogel after multiple
you
patients.
You really don't want that guy
no,
to know your name.
He's the big one that you don't want to know your name. And after multiple patients, under his care had been found in life-threatening conditions for seemingly, like, inexplicable reasons. It was suggested that he either resign his position at the clinic or go and transfer to the clinic's logistics unit where he would assist in moving patients throughout the hospital. So basically, like, you're in patient transport or you need to resign. So he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do patient transport, understandably.
Well,
so
because you don't get any
resigned.
Drugs there.
No, exactly. He wouldn't be able to do his thing there. So, of course, he resigned. Time to move on. Pulling a Colin. So.
Is that what we call it now?
That's pulling, what I call it now.
That's what we call it now.
That's when
you're a Colin. When
you're
you jump
doing,
ship.
It's when you're doing nefarious shit at one place. They start sniffing around you. So you fly to a different organization. The hospital does nothing. And yeah, that's pulling a Colin. Now here. He moves on to Delmenhorst Hospital, which is where he works from 2002 to 2005. And this is where he continued a lot of his antics. Now, there's one case, a patient by the name of Dieter Gotz, who was a 63-year-old man recovering from a relatively routine operation. This was a bypass surgery to bypass a clogged artery in his heart. His family was relieved after his procedure was very successful. He was doing really, really well. He was awake. He was talking. He was ready to sort of like move on to the next step. And there was every reason to believe that he would make a full recovery and do just fine, just like most of the other patients do. His vitals were stable. His labs were great, but something of course went terribly wrong. Hogel, who had been assigned to Dieter's ward that day, entered the room with his usual calm demeanor and he administered a dose of Ajmaline.
Ajmaline?
Yeah.
I don't know this med.
Neither did I.
Really?
What?
You didn't know it
Talk
either?
Talk about it. I am not familiar with this drug. So I had to do some digging. And I was not familiar because...
I mean, it sounds pretty.
It does. Now...
Let's fix you up with a dose of Ajmaline.
Yeah, no problem. Now, this is a medication that is not often used in the United States. It actually has a much wider range of uses in Europe, Asia... but the U.S. hasn't really adopted it as like a gold standard medication, but it's an antiarrhythmic drug. It's often used, really one of its only uses within the United States is a diagnostic tool to provoke certain arrhythmias and identify individuals who are at risk for life-threatening arrhythmias. but it's a lot more widely used across Europe to treat things like rapid AFib, ventricular arrhythmias like VFib or VTAC in code situations. So
why do you think we haven't adopted it?
You know, it's one of those things that this actually is like the truth for a lot of different medicines. Every country and every like region of the world sort of has its own drugs that they just like to use and that are widely used. It's kind of weird in that way. Okay. It may be an issue of FDA approval with uses in the United States versus what's there. Actually, Europe has a much, it's like widely regarded as like a much cooler profile for like the drugs that they can use over there. So this is something that is a lot more readily available in Europe and in hospitals in Europe, especially to Hogel, because he's working on like a cardiac floor and it's a cardiac medication. So Niels walks in and he administers this drug, and within minutes, Dieter's cardiac alarms begin to sound, and he went into a lethal arrhythmia, and his staff rushed to his side. They would later testify that Niels was already there performing chest compressions. Unfortunately, despite heroic measures of the staff on the unit, Dieter did pass.
Did this make him like, I mean, he's doing this on purpose, number one. Mm-hmm. But if he also liked the glory of saving them, did he get mad when they died?
I don't think he really gave a fuck. I think he wanted to give himself the chance to try to save people. And he wanted to be seen as somebody who tried to save people, even if he didn't succeed. He didn't care about the person's life.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a gem.
I'm a benefit of the doubt type of person today.
I can see that today. Yeah. You're really just giving a lot of grace over here.
I am.
Yeah. This guy doesn't need any of it.
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
You just shit all over this guy.
Poop.
Thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Now, this is just so like Dieter's family obviously was devastated and shocked. And the doctors kind of explained that Dieter's heart must have simply just like given out. He did just have a major cardiac surgery. This must have been some kind of unforeseen, you know, complication, post-op complication. But what they didn't know was that Dieter had been murdered. And this is just like one of innumerable cases. Like this is an example of what would happen on this unit over and over and over again. Now, another example is Karen Muller. She was a grandmother of 4 and a woman whose life revolved around her family. She loved her grandkids more than anything in this world. She was just like this wonderful grandma. Everybody loved her.
Another good Karen.
Oh, another good Karen. she and her children like relied on her to stay calm, stay steady. She was like the truly the matriarch of the family. She was just like this, you know, lighthouse of love in her family. Now at 72 years old, Karen was admitted to Delmenhorst Hospital for treatment of a minor heart condition. It was supposed to be a relatively short stay, just a few days under observation, but her condition and her condition really wasn't even life-threatening. And her family was already planning a small celebration, like when she was released, they were just going to have like a little housewarming party or whatever.
Grandma's home!
Grandma's home! But within 48 hours of her admission, Karen was dead.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And on the surface, Karen's death appeared to be the result of natural causes. The heart like gave out maybe due to age and strain. Like she wasn't, you know, a spring chicken, you know, she's getting up there in age. And sometimes that happens. Sudden cardiac death, especially in women, this happens. So her family was so shocked. And now, you know, their mother, their grandmother, who had been in relatively good health, like declined really quickly. And
just
then
gone.
The doctors looking over her records assured the family that sometimes these things do happen, especially in people in her age group. And a small complication could lead to a rapid decline, they said. There's really no reason at that point to suspect foul play initially. But
did they ask for an autopsy?
No.
Bummer.
The truth was that Niels Hoegel had administered a lethal dose of potassium chloride into Karen's IV.
Oh.
Yes. Now, potassium chloride is one of those.
That's not good.
It's actually one of the combination. It's one of the drugs in the combination that is often used in lethal injection because it literally will
kill you. What it does to your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an electrolyte that occurs naturally in our body. We need it for our cells to function. But in an environment of an extremely high amount of potassium, it will stop your heart or put you into a ventricular arrhythmia and die.
Did he confess to giving her potassium chloride?
Yeah, this is how we know all of this. Yep. So. And if you're noticing, like he uses antiarrhythmic drugs and potassium chloride. That's a lot of what he used throughout his crimes. You can tell he really kind of thought this through and planned it. And this was not like a spur of the moment thing. He had plans because these drugs given under these circumstances to these cardiac patients mimic the natural progression of cardiac arrest and sudden cardiac death, which is something that does happen in life. So this guy would end up flying in the radar. Like that's how he flew under the radar for so long because he just had it.
He was basically just exacerbating symptoms that they would see on a cardiac unit anyway.
Exactly.
Just in a much lower volume.
Exactly. Yep.
Well.
So for Karen's family, the grief was overwhelming. And in the months that followed.
Because you're right. Giving something like insulin and all of a sudden these cardiac patients like are just all tanking. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
With low blood sugars.
That raises a red flag. Exactly. But if you're going to give someone specifically a cardiac death when they've had cardiac surgery or have a known heart ailment, it's harder to be, it's harder for anyone to be able to accuse you of anything. So Karen's family was overwhelmed with grief, obviously. And in the months that followed, they would start questioning the circumstances around her death more and more. And they just had this like feeling that they couldn't shake, that this just did not add up because she was fine. Whatever she was having done was minor. It was not felt to be life threatening in any way. And I mean, all her labs, everything from that day even had come back fine. So in that moment, like they trusted the medical system and were like, you know, we know you guys did everything that you needed to and that, you know, we're not accusing you of anything, but like, we just have a lot of unanswered questions, you know what I mean? Which is understandable. And I think a lot of people who lose family members suddenly are left with that feeling, right? So it's not, you know, abnormal to feel that way when you lose someone so suddenly, especially if they're in a medical setting and it happens so unexpectedly. So Hoegel, while this poor family is mourning and several other families who are losing their, you know, loved ones left and right on this unit because of this guy, he's just continuing his routine and he's moving from patient to patient to patient. He sometimes floats to other units, does the same thing on other units. And this just fucking continues for the time being until we get to part two.
What? What? Yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
I know.
Damn.
Right?
We got a little Janine Colin Neal action going on.
Pretty much.
Huh.
This guy is like a
I want to know.
Cullen sandwich.
I'm interested to hear your take on how he presented himself when he was just like singing like a bird.
I know.
You know?
And we will get into it. I feel like
that's going to piss me off.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Because he very much has, he's definitely narcissistic, definitely sociopathic. Like he had, it was striking, and we'll get deeper into it, but there was a lot of psychologists involved in this, obviously. I've quoted many of them already, but he was seen by a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, and it is shocking. The lack of empathy, the complete apathy, the no emotion whatsoever, the matter-of-factness.
That's the part. I mean, there's a lot of it that just pisses me off, but that's the part that's like going to be.
He literally regarded these human beings as, I mean, just a means to an end. He couldn't feel anything on his own. So this is what he did to feel something. I will also add.
Listen, don't do that.
I will not do that. I'm not going to do that, but I will add. In 2004, the year prior to his apprehension, he got married and he had a baby daughter with his wife in summer of 2004. So like gleeful, wonderful time. He took a couple of weeks off of work, right? And he comes back to work. The very night that he comes back to work, he admits later on that he went to work feeling like he had gone too long without having that feeling of euphoria from the recognition.
Oh, so the baby daughter didn't give it to him?
No. Mm-hmm. So he went too long without having killed someone, basically. So the very night that he returned to work from his leave to take care of his baby,
waste no time.
He killed someone.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, I hate these people.
This guy's
Wow.
He is a shit sandwich.
Oh, I can't wait to hear part two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Woo!
If you want to keep checking us out, you can search for us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
You can check us out on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, because the Patreons are going to be getting some cool stuff.
Get in now.
Get in now, baby.
Because we're going to put those polls live very soon.
Yes.
Kate and I are going to pick a bunch of episodes.
Fuck like yeah, we are.
20, 30 episodes to let you pick your top 10.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk all about them. It's going to be great.
Get in now.
Yes. We love you.
Send us your crazy stories, suggestions, ideas, feedback. Even just say hello at medcrimes@gmail.com.
I cannot wait to hear from you guys. Cannot wait to bring you part two because I just, this motherfucker, I'm telling
you. Two more episodes till our second big news.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.